Today we are starting a new series, basically going back to an old series. Ever since 2007, I have spent this part of the period between Christmas, when we celebrate Christ's advent, and Easter, when we celebrate Christ's resurrection. I've spent some or all of that period in the book of Matthew, and I've only gotten to Matthew chapter 13. So this time, we're going to finish. We're just going to stay in there as long as it takes. And at this rate, it'll be 7 more years. But we'll probably speed it up. And we're starting in Matthew 13, where Jesus begins his teachings of the kingdom. How to enter the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God like? And if you're a Christian, if you're somebody who's been in or around the church for a long time, you need to know that the word kingdom of God, that phrase, frightens unbelievers. It frightens people who are not inside the church. Because it sounds triumphalistic. It sounds like conquest. It sounds like imperialism. And in your mind, you're thinking, well, who wouldn't want to be conquered by the gracious Jesus Christ? But that's not how people on the outside see it. When they hear these phrases, they conjure up images in their mind of they're not that different from Islamic groups taking over cities and forcing their religion upon people. When people outside the church hear the phrase, the kingdom of God, they think of conquest. They think of forcing morality on people who don't want it. They think of prohibition. They think of forcing people to hide who they really are. They think of the Crusades. They think of force. They think of political force. They think of coercion. And many in the church kind of have bought into that. There's many in the church overall, in America especially, who think the kingdom of God is going to come with an election or is going to come through a political agenda. And I want you to know that Jesus never taught that. Jesus taught that the Word of God comes by the introduction of life into a dead world. It comes secretly and silently. It comes almost invisibly, like a seed. If I were to hold a seed up here, you wouldn't even be able to see it. But when that seed gets into the ground, it grows. And it has, because it has life within it. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God growing unstoppably, growing and reproducing manifold times because it has life within it. There's a story that Tim Keller tells of a man in the Middle Ages in Italy who was superstitious and who feared the resurrection, who did not like the idea of the resurrection. He hated the idea of the resurrection, and he didn't want to be raised from the dead. His life was just fine, and he did not want to face God and be judged. And so when he was getting ready to die, he left instructions and was buried with a massive piece of marble over his grave to prevent him from being raised from the dead. I told you he was superstitious. But when he was buried, evidently an acorn fell into the grave with him. And over the years, that acorn found its way out and sprouted and grew into a massive oak tree. And the roots of that tree grew up and split the marble and pushed it off to the sides. Just think about that for a second. It's a great illustration of the resurrection. But just think about, on one hand, you've got a one-ton slab of marble. On the other hand, you've got a little acorn so small that you could step on it and crush it easily. Who's going to win that fight? Who would you bet on to win that fight? Well, if you're smart, you're going to bet on the acorn every time. Because the acorn's going to win every time. Because the acorn has life. And life is always going to defeat death. You're always going to beat life. You're always going to bet on life. And that doesn't even begin to demonstrate the power of life that an acorn has within it. Because what happens to that tree? It grows up and it produces thousands upon thousands of acorns. And those acorns grow up to become trees. that produced thousands and thousands of acorns. A single acorn has within it the potential to cover an entire continent with trees, to split up an entire continent of marble slabs. That's life. That's how life grows. That's how life reproduces. And that's the image that Jesus uses when he talks about the kingdom of God. It's a seed that goes to the ground and it dies and it is buried and it produces life. And it reproduces. And that's the kingdom of God. And the truth of the kingdom of God is this. We're dead. Until God's word, that seed, gets inside of us. And God's word is a powerful thing. In Genesis chapter 1, we're told that God walked out into the darkness and he said, "Let there be light." And then it doesn't say, then he went and created the sun and produced light. It says, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. What God says happens. What he says becomes reality. And Jesus, in John chapter 5, says, "Truly I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live." And then he says a little later, "You do not have his word living in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent." God's word is that living seed that gets inside of our cold, dead hearts and produces life. Now, if you're new to this, you may be offended by me saying that you're dead, and I get it. I would be offended by being told that I was dead. But it's not a moral judgment as much as it's a statement of the reality. It's not calling you a bad person to say you're dead to spiritual things, you're dead to God's word. It just means there's an aspect of the world that you've never entered. It's never entered you. It's like when I was first got married, and on our honeymoon, part of our extended honeymoon, we went to Washington, D.C., and Bianca wanted to go to the National Museum of Art. And I will tell you, without flinching, until I walked into that building, I was dead to art. Art was dead to me, and I was fine with that relationship. I was alive to football, I was alive to buffalo wings, I was alive to a lot of things, but I was not alive to art. And I walked in that building, and I had heard of Rembrandt, but I'd never seen a Rembrandt, and staring at these masterpieces, something stirred within me, and I became alive to a whole new realm of creation. That's what happens when God's Word gets in us. It stirs in us. It makes us alive to something that made no sense to us before. And for that to happen, for us to become alive, God's word has to penetrate our heart, and we enter his kingdom. Jesus begins teaching on a parable that we're going to go back to next week, and he says the kingdom of God is like this. A farmer goes out, and he sows seed, and some of the seed falls in the path, and the path is too hard, and the birds come and snatch that seed away. And some of the seed falls on shallow ground, and it springs up quickly because there's not a lot of dirt there, and it's really warm, and there's stones underneath. But that seed, those plants wither and die. And some seed falls in amongst the thorns and the weeds, and they sprout and they grow, but the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke that seed out, and they don't reproduce. And some seed falls on good soil, and it reproduces 10, 20, even 100 times over. And that's where we're going to pick up. Please stand as we read God's Word. It says from Mark chapter 10, but it's actually from Matthew chapter 13. Sorry about that. It's my fault. Matthew chapter 13, begin with verse 10. Is the right one on the screen? You have the right one back there? No, you don't have Matthew 10? Next service, have Matthew 13. All right, hear the word of the Lord. It is correct in your bulletin. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed. Unless they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. Please be seated. Thus ends the reading of one of the most obscure and enigmatic texts of God's Word. The Word of God, for us to enter into His kingdom, the Word of God is to enter our hearts and produce life. What happens is Jesus tells this parable, and His disciples come to Him, and they say, why do you teach in parables? And He says to them the exact opposite of what your Sunday school teacher used to tell you about parables. When you were growing up, your Sunday school teacher said this, parables make spiritual principles that are hard to understand easy to understand. Right? That's what we all think. And that is the exact opposite of what Jesus says. That is precisely not what He is saying. He says to them, I teach in parables so they won't understand. Now, typically, the reason why Presbyterians tend to pay their ministers and send them to seminary is so we can come back from seminary and tell you that the hard texts in Scripture don't mean what they seem to mean. And they're really not that bad. And so whenever there's something in the Bible that makes God kind of look like the bad guy, I'm always tempted to go, it's not really as bad as it sounds. I got bad news for you. When Jesus says here, I teach in parables so they won't understand, what He means is, I teach in parables so they won't understand. And the reason they don't understand is because parables are perilous and because listening is hard. It's hard to hear. It's just hard to hear in normal situations. You know, I once heard a joke about a man who wanted to get his wife a hearing aid. And he said to her, he walked up to her one day while she was doing the dishes. And he said, what's for dinner? And she didn't hear him. And so he said louder, what's for dinner? And she said, she didn't respond. And he yells as loud as he can, what's for dinner? And she turns around and says, for the third time, it's chicken. Hearing is hard. Hearing is hard because we only hear what we want to hear. I saw a picture last week of a man talking to his wife, or his wife talking to her husband, saying, you know, I don't really think you listen to me. You only hear what you want to hear. And she responded and he responded by saying, sure, I'll have another beer. And that's kind of the problem when we come to parables. They're difficult, right? We don't understand them because we only hear what we want to hear. And when we hear a parable, what we tend to do is we think, oh, that's simple. I've got that. And thinking, oh, that's simple, I've got that, means we will never, ever hear it. Why? A, because parables make very difficult things seem easy. And B, because you get to pick who you are in the parable. You get to decide for yourself. For instance, parable of the sower. Four kinds of fields out there. The seed falls in all kinds of different fields. What do you immediately think when you hear that parable? Hey, I know people like that. Some people have hard hearts. The Word of God never gets in there. Some people are just real shallow, and they respond joyfully. And I remember that guy who got converted when he was 17, and he was a big shot Christian. By the time he went to college, he was a pagan. He never even cared about that stuff. I remember people like that. Some seed falls in among the thorns and the weeds. I know people like that. You know, once they became adults and really got involved in the cares of life, and they started making money, all of a sudden, the church wasn't as important to them. And some seed falls among the good soil, and it grows. And that's me. I'm so glad that's me. And I really hope this person sitting next to me realizes that they're not good soil. Maybe I should pray for them. We get to decide who we are. And we kind of get to decide the moral of the story. I mean, honestly, there are millions, maybe even billions of people on the earth today that when they hear the parable of the prodigal son, they think, boy, it sure is good that lost children can come home and God's always going to welcome them. And I sure am glad I'm the older son who never left. And that's really the good one. I'm the good one. And they never, ever understand that the whole point of that parable is to say, if you're the older brother, you need to change. You've never received grace. You're missing the party. Parables are perilous. They're hard to understand. And Jesus uses them so that we won't understand. Jesus uses them so that our ears will grow heavy and our hearts will grow dull. And people who are self-righteous, people who are wise in their own eyes, people who think they've got this, who have full control of themselves and are able to repent whenever they want to repent, are able to do God's Word, will completely miss it. Those who hear a parable and think, that's right, I need to go be good soil. I need to reproduce more. I need to do more evangelism. That's what this text is telling me. I need to do more evangelism. Completely miss it. And so where does that leave us? God's Word's got to penetrate us. And if it doesn't penetrate into our hearts and bear fruit, then we're not even going to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus is up here teaching in parables so that we won't get it. He's hiding these things from the wise. He's hiding these things from the righteous. What's the secret? And honestly, I'll be honest, I'm 45. That's honest enough. And I've probably read this parable at least five times a year for the last 40 years. And I don't think I got it until this year. Because it always seemed kind of mysterious, right? Like, who are the secret ones that Jesus is going to reveal the truth to? And finally, and I'll give credit where credit's due, I listened to a Tim Keller sermon. I did. And he explained it, and when he explains it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty dumb. Who are the ones he explains the parable to? It's not mysterious. It's not like, who are the secret ones with the mark? Who are the ones he explains the parable to? Seriously, who are the ones he explains the parable to? The people who asked. The people who came up and said, I don't get it. Why are you teaching a parable? Those are the ones he explained it to. The humble. The broken. The ones who are willing to come up and say, I don't get it. I think there's more here. I thought I got it, but now I'm not so sure. Those are the ones he explains it to. The broken. Those who, when they hear the truth, go, but I still can't do that. What does Jesus say? He says Matthew 11, in our call to worship this morning, it's this fascinating passage where he's just pronounced judgment on these cities because they wouldn't come to him and believe. And he says, I praise you, Father, because you've hidden these things from the wise and revealed them to the babies. Who are the babies? The babies are the ones who come up and ask. Who come up and say, I need help. That's all the mystery there is to this. It's not some secret club. It's not some secret thing that you have to do to get in. The humble who hear God's word are those who come and ask. They acknowledge their ignorance. Will you please show me? And the humble who receive the kingdom of God are the ones who acknowledge their inability. I can't do it. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you saw a piece of ground plowing itself? When was the last time you saw a garden weed itself? I want that garden. I don't have it. You know, our grounds committee planted these beautiful bushes all along the office last spring, and during the long, hot, dry summer, I slowly watched those bushes die. And I was thinking, gee, I wish those bushes would water themselves. And every day I thought, I need to water those bushes. That's going to be a terrible waste of our investment if I don't. And I didn't. What do you do? Jesus is telling us we're one of these soils. And if you're a humble person, if you have the grace of the Holy Spirit, what's your response? You say, Lord, my heart is hard. I'm having trouble listening to this. Father, I am shallow. Father, my life is filled with weeds. And even right now, something as stupid as the Super Bowl is crowding in and making it hard for me to concentrate on the words of life. Lord, help me. And the good news for you is this. He is so delighted to help. He is so much more willing to give you help than you are to ask for it. He does not wait for you to ask. He comes to you and gives you the desire to ask. He did not come wait for us to fix ourselves or to learn who He is and earn our way up to Him. You see, the beautiful thing about the kingdom of God and this whole teaching about seeds coming to the earth is this. When we get to the end of Matthew, we're going to find out that Jesus Himself is the living seed who came down from heaven and who died and who was buried in the ground for us. And who sprouted to life in the resurrection. And He is the one who brings us life. And He is the one who is changing us and producing 10 and 20 and a million times over. He is the seed. And we receive Him. And He gives grace to the humble. And that's the offer for you. The parable is not a command for you to go weed your life out. The parable is an offer for you to receive the seed and ask God to prepare your heart for it. And we do that every day. It's not a one-time command. It's a once-a-week command at worst. It's a once-a-day command at best. Father, will you prepare my heart? Will you make me able to receive? Will you make me able to do? Will you make me able to receive your commands? Will you make me able to follow them? Will you receive me? Because I can't do either. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we confess that we think your parables, your stories are lessons that we just need to learn. We need to gather the moral out of them. And we need to do better. We need to do a better job of listening. Father, I can't explain a parable. I can't even understand them. None of us can. Father, would you penetrate our hearts with your word? Would you bring us to a new life by your word? Would you take these seeds, this dying body who is deaf to you, and would you make us into something beautiful? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.